Alright, today's daf is Chulin Daf Nun. Again, continuing through Hilchos Treifus. Again, I'm not going to be here for the rest of this week. Bez Hashem, the next daf shir I'm going to be giving here is going to be next Tuesday. That was for the benefit of those who listen to the recording. Okay, let's pick up from Daf Mem Tesem and Beis, six lines from the bottom of the page. Amr of Nachman, chelev ha'asui kakova eino sosein. If you have the chelev that looks like a helmet, doesn't cover up holes, right? We had this discussion several times about certain things that can be sosein, that even though a hole would make something a treifa, but if you have certain items covering a hole, and we generally, the gedder we gave before was that if it's a kind of chelev, the gedder we gave yesterday, that if it's kosher chelev, which means shuman, then it can be sosein. If it's non-kosher, it cannot be so same. So apparently, even though we have that rule, this is somewhat of an exception to the rule that the chelev that looks like a helmet is ain't so same. That does not have the ability to be so same. So hecha, what are we talking about? Where is this chelev? Armila chiti de karkisha. Some say it's the chelev on the rectum of the animal that looks like chitim. It looks like pieces of wheat. The chelev looks like pieces of wheat. Va'armila tarpisha deliba. And some say it's the chelev around the heart area of the animal. So two completely different ends of the animal. We're not exactly sure what the mesorah is, where this chelev is that we define as looking like a kova that does not have the ability to be so same. Amar Rava Shaminid Rav Nachman Tarti. So Rava says we learned two things from Rav Nachman. Chimtza ubar chimtza. This is a totally new thing, not related to the previous statement of Rav Nachman. We learned two. I have learned, Rava says, two halachas from Rav Nachman that need clarification, and they are as follows. Chimtza ubar chimtza. One is about chelev that's called chimtza. Another is about chelev that's called bar chimtza. They're both chelev that are on the keva. Chad sasim, chad lo sasim. One of them has the ability to be sosim in ekev, the other one does not have the ability to be sosim in ekev. V'lo yodana heminayu. The problem is, I don't know which one is which, whether chimtza can be sosim and bar chimtza cannot, or the other way around. So Rafuna bar chinov, Rafuna breid of Nachman Amar, bar chimtza sasim, chimtza lo sasim. It's bar chimtza that can be sosim, chimtza cannot be sosim, cannot close up a hole. Amar Rav Tavos v'simanayich, the way to remember which one can be so same, which one cannot be so same, is Yafa Koach HaBen Mikoach HaAv. You remember the phrase that people say, apparently it was a common phrase, Yafa Koach HaBen Mikoach HaAv, that the son has greater Koach than the father does. So Bar Chimtza is the son and Chimtza is the father. So the Koach of the Bar Chimtza to be so same is greater than the Koach HaAv, which cannot be so same. So now the Gemara just has to identify what in the world is Chimtza and what in the world is Bar Chimtza. We know that it's around the Keva, apparently, that Rashi points out already, that it's Shneim Bechelev Shal HaKeva, they're both around the Keva, but which parts of the fat surrounding the Keva is the Chimtza, and which parts of the fat surrounding the Keva are the Bar Chimtza. So Hei Chimtza Vehei Bar Chimtza. Which one is which? Tashma. Dom Rav Nachman, inu mechal achli, uli didan mistam nami lo sasim. Rav Nachman said that there are certain fats that the people in Eretz Yisrael, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael have a minhag, that they treat it as 100% kosher fats. So Rav Nachman said, for us, we're not going to allow that to be so same even. Meaning there is a certain type of fat that there was a machlokas between the tradition in Eretz Yisrael and the tradition in Bavel. Where in Eretz Yisrael they treated it like kosher fat, in Bavel they treated it like non-kosher fat. So Rav Nachman said, even though we're going to treat it like non-kosher fat, in that we won't eat it, but can we treat it like non-kosher fat to the extent that we're going to hold it's not even going to be able to be so same? Is our tradition going to be that far off from the tradition in Eretz Yisrael? As Rashi says on the top, l'didan afilu mistam nami lo sasim bitmiya l'didan b'nei bavel nihida lo achli lei l'hachi miya mechaskin lei b'chelev tohar liyo so same. Granted, we're not going to eat it, but we should still consider it chelev tohar in the sense that it should be so same. Shema mina hida pligi b'nei Eretz Yisrael b'nei bavel kari le Rav Nachman bar chimtza. We see from here that the Bnei Bavel, Bnei Yisrael disagreed about was the bar chimtza. V'hainu da'yasra chelev shebemakom ha'yasra sha'akeva asuya kikeshes u'mibachutz kari da'kashra mifnim l'ugal kari da'yasra chevel u'da'yasra chevel u'da'yasra pligi k'mfarish v'azel. Essentially, Rashi is telling us discuss that the in general the keva is shaped like a bow from a bow and arrow, and there are two sides to it. One side is like the bow itself, and the other side is like the bow string. One of them is more curved, and the other side is more flat. So the bow string side is obviously the flatter side, and the curved side is the bow side. So the Gemara is going to now identify which is which, and is going to identify which the fat from which side, from the bow side or the bow string side, is the subject of machlokes between Bnei Bavel and Bnei Eretz Yisrael. The akashta back in the Gemara kuliyam lo pligi da aser, the fat from the bow side, meaning from the curved side, the underside of the keva, everyone agrees is aser. That's not a machlokes between the Bnei Bavel and Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Ki pligi da ayasra, they only argue about the bow string side, meaning the flat side or the more flat side of the keva. The fat on the flatter side of the keva, that's where you have a machlokas between the Bnei Bavel and Bnei Yisrael. Ika da Amri, others say, no, da ayasu kliyam lo pligi d'shari. On the bow string side, everyone holds that that fat is going to be mutter. Ki pligi da kashta, they argue on the bow side whether that's going to be mutter or not. Ki hada Amar Rav Avya, Amar Rabbi Ami, Mekamtsin, Rav Avya says in the name of Rabbi Ami, that in Rabbi Ami is from Eretz Yisrael, that Mekamtsin, which means that if you want to eat this fat, you just have to peel off the outermost layer of the fat, and the rest of the fat is okay. So apparently, again, that's referring, that so that must be assuming that there is some fat that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael are that's referring to a fat that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael are going to eat. This is going back within the first lashon. The first lashon that said that the bow side everyone says is aser. On the bow string side, so that's where there's a machlokas, and the Bnei Eretz Yisrael hold you're allowed to eat it. So we're saying the fat on the bow string side, the Amorayim from Eretz Yisrael held, all you need to do is take off, peel off the outermost layer, because it borders on things that on fats that aren't kosher, so just peel off the outermost layer, and you can eat the rest of the fat. And Rabbi Yani said the same thing, Mishum Zakin Echad. He says, once I was, not only is it something that was taught in the Beis Medrash, I once saw Maisa Shahaya, we were by Rabbi Ami, and they were comets, they took off a little bit of the outermost layer, and then they went and they gave it to him, and he ate it. Shamed Rabbi Chanina, Avakoi Kamed Rabbi Chanina, and another Maisa that happened relating to this fat was that the shamash of Rabbi Chanina was standing in front of Rabbi Chanina. Amalei kamotz havli de'echul. So he said, just peel off again the outer layer and give it to me and I'll eat it. So chaz yedava kamachzim. So he saw that he was hesitant. The shamash was hesitant. How can I feed this to him? It's not kosher. This fat I hold is not kosher. Amalei, so he said, oh yeah, bavlaat, you're from Bavel, so you hold that it's not kosher. That's why you're so hesitant. You don't want to feed it to me. Okay, so gum shadi. So he says, if you don't want to feed it to me, so gum shadi, as Rashi says, gum means chatoch adi karo kulo v'hashleich. Cut out all of it. Cut out all of the fat and throw it out. Fine, you don't want to feed me the fat because in your tradition, it's aser. It's an interesting discussion because obviously Rabbi Chanina himself held that it was mutter. That's why he asked for it. And nevertheless, he was understanding that the shamash didn't want to feed it to him. This is an issue. If you hold that something is aser and someone else holds that it's mutter, are you allowed to give it to them or allow them to do what they hold is mutter? You know, certain machlokes. I remember when I was in Karen Biavna, we had a Shabbaton with the guys from Gush and Shalavim, and some of the, I think in Gush they held opening certain bottles or containers that Posek held, I think, must be their Posek held as Mutter, because our Posek held everything was Usher. So it must be we held that it was Usher. We had a Shiloh. Could we have them open, right, it was at Gush, could we have them open our bottles for us? They held it was Mutter, we held it was Usher. So over here, apparently, he said he wasn't going to force the Shamish, I don't know if it's a riot, but he wasn't going to force the Shamish who held that it was Usher to give him that which he held was Usher, even though the person eating it obviously held that it was mutter. Also, you have this interesting svar over here that Rav Nachman says. Rav Nachman says, how could it be that there's such a thing as fat that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael hold you're even allowed to eat, and we're going to hold, granted, of course we argue with them, and we hold you're not allowed to eat it, but it can't be that we're going to hold that it's not even so same, that it doesn't have the ability to be so same and naked. which is a strange svara. What do you mean? Because if you hold it's non-kosher fat, by definition, non-kosher fat cannot be sosim menekev. And if you hold it's kosher fat, then kosher fat can be sosim menekev, but it could also be eaten. So what do you mean? That I'm going to hold it can't be eaten, but I can't hold that it's not sosim menekev? So you have poskim use this gemara in various contexts. In Shor Mitzvah and Ba'alachov here, he collects from different contexts. Magen Avraham in Reish Samach Aleph Sivkat and Zayin quotes from the Tshuvas Marivayu, where he says, if you have a place that the Merkabel Shabbos mi ba'od yom, the Merkabel Shabbos, let's say, very early, so you're allowed to tell a guy to turn on the lights for you, even shalo b'makom mitzvah, because there are many places, obviously, that were not Mekabel Shabbos yet, because it's so early in the day. So if so many other places were not Mekabel Shabbos yet, because it's so early in the day, then they hold they're allowed to do malacha themselves. So if they hold they're allowed to do malacha themselves, all the more so that at least, granted, we're going to hold, we can't do malacha, because we were Mekabel Shabbos, but it can't be that we can't even ask a guy to do malacha for us. He says exactly the same svara that Rav Nachman has. Granted, they hold that this fat is mutter, and we hold that it's aser, but it can't be that it's so aser that it can't even be so same. So he says such a svara by Kabbalah Shabbos. Machzah Shekel says it's not a riot, it's not comparable at all. Kabbalah Shabbos is totally in your own Kabbalah. So if you're Mekabel Shabbos, it's Shabbos for you. Over here, it's an issue of halacha. They argue about whether the fat is kosher fat. Everyone agrees when Shabbos really begins. We were Mekabel Shabbos early, that's something that we accept upon ourselves. To compare the two is very, very difficult. The other case he quotes is from the Tshuvas Chaim Sha'al, where he has two people. He says if a situation where they were lush matzos mitzvah, they needed matzos mitzvah, and the dough was a little too soft, it was a little too liquidy, so they added more flour to the mixture. So there are some that aser even b'dieved, that by definition, adding more flour later on is going to be chashash chimutz. But nevertheless, he says, Yeshlash Hosam Babayis. Even though we're going to be machmir not to eat such matzos, you don't have to get rid of such matzos. Because even though we're machmir, like the Svaras Machmirin, not to eat it, but still, you could be somech on the achronim that were matir b'achila l'kol ha'pachos to leave it around your house. Because it can't be that there's something that other people hold you're allowed to eat, and we're not even going to allow leaving it around the house. And he quotes this idea, the same svar of Rav Nachman, that if someone else holds it's mamish mutter, we can't go l'chumra in the other direction. Prichadosh just makes a simple aron, tav tzadivav. What you see from here is that you're allowed to be machmir on things without taking those chumras to the logical extensions. Meaning, if Rav Nachman held that it made sense to be machmir, that this fat had a din of chelev that was aser, so the logical extension should be that it shouldn't be so same either. Yet Rav Nachman says, no, we understand that we keep a certain chumrah, we're machmir to assume that it's not to be eaten, but that does not necessarily mean that our chumrah has to be taken to its logical conclusions. You could be machmir on the most severe issues in halacha, and less machmir on the less severe issues, even though they're logically linked to each other. So that's an important ha'ara in terms of the way that chumras work that emerge from Rav Nachman's statement. Okay, Vaitu the Gemara, Tanya, first one line, about 10 lines down on Nunam et Aleph. Tanya, Rav Shmuel Gamliel, Omer, B'nei Me'ayin, the intestines, shenikvu, that have a hole in them, v'leichas osamtan, and there is a moisture that closes up the hole, k'sheirot, it's going to be kosher. My lecha, what do we mean by moisture? Amar of Kahana, shirka d'me'ayah, d'nafak agav duchka. It is the sticky liquids of the intestines that can come out when you squeeze it, when you push it really hard. Gemiri chavirayi d'Rabbi Abba me Rabbi Abba, the chavirim of Rabbi Abba learned from Rabbi Abba, umanu Rabbi Zeru, who are the chavirayi d'Rabbi Abba? It's Rabbi Zera. The Amrila Chavirayi Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Zera. Others say no. The following teaching was from the Chavirim of Rabbi Zera who learned from Rabbi Zera. Umanu Rabbi Abba. And who's the Chavirim of Rabbi Zera? Rabbi Abba. Either way, Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Zera emerge as friends, as Chavirim. But one of them learned from the other. Bered Rabbi Chia. What's the year? Something? Yeah. Bered Rabbi Chia Baraba. Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So said Rabbi Yochanan. Halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Betrefa. Valach Rabbi Shimon Ba'e. That the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel when it comes to Hilchas Treifas by a certain inyan in Hilchas Treifas, and the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon when it comes to a certain inyan in Hilchas Avelus. So halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel by Treifa Hadi Amran. The halacha going like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel by Treifas, that's the brisa we just quoted that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that the intestines. nachsins that have a nekev in them and that there's lecha that closes up that nekev, that's kosher. The lecha, the moisture from inside the intestines, can close up the nekev and the animal's going to be kosher. It's not going to be a trefa. That's where we say halacha Reb Shimon Gamliel. Where do we say halacha Reb Shimon Ba'avel? Reb Shimon Ba'avel Mayhi. What's the case where we pass on Reb Shimon in Hilchos Avelus? Tetzanan, we have a Mishnah that teaches the following discussion in Hilchos Avelus. Kol Shloshi Yam Marishonim, the first 3 days of Avelus, Bami Makum Karov, Mona Imahem. If an Avel was not with the rest of the family and had not heard about the Patira of his relative, and he showed up from a Makum Karov, from a place that is within 1 day's journey of where the rest of the family was and where the Levaya was and where they're sitting Shiva, so he can count the rest of Shiva with them. Meaning, even though he did not start counting Shiva and sitting Shiva at the same time as them, because he had no idea that his relative had died, he showed up a little bit later, he can count along with their cheshbon of Shiva. Basically, it means he gets up from Shiva the same time as them. He doesn't just start counting Shiva on his own cheshbon from when he gets there. Mimakom rachok mona liatzma. But if he comes from a makom rachok, if he comes from a place that's more than a day's journey away, let's say he comes on the 4th day of Shiva, so everyone else's 4th day is going to be his day 1 of Shiva, and he's going to have to count in that way. Mikan ve'elach. But after the first 3 days, I shouldn't have given the example of the 4th day, but after the first 3 days, meaning if he comes on the 2nd day. Their 2nd day is going to be his 1st day. But after the first 3 days, Mikan ve'elach, afilu ba mimakom karov mona la'atzmo. Even if he comes from somewhere very close by, even from somewhere within a day's distance, he's going to count his own Shiva. Rabbi Shimon omer, afilu biyom ha'shvi ba mimakom karov mona imahen. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it all depends on makom karov and makom rachok. It doesn't matter what day it is. It doesn't matter the first 3 days versus the rest of the days. Whenever you come from a makom karov, you're able to be mona imahen. Apparently, the idea of Makom Karov, the way Rashi describes it, is the fact that you could have been there, and you could have heard about it, and you could have been counting along with them, means that you, by definition, are connected to the rest of the Avelim. But if you could not have known about it, and you could not have been there, then you are disconnected from the other Avelim, and therefore you would count separately. There is this concept in Avelus that there's a din of a Beis HaAvel, and some of the Avelim are nigrar after the Beis HaAvel. What's going on in the Beis HaAvel, even if that Avel is not there? It's a similar concept by the Gadol HaBayis, that everyone is nigrar after the Gadol HaBayis. This is assuming that there is no specific Gadol HaBayis. Okay, so that was the halach of Rabbi Shimon. That Rabbi Shimon's big kula, that you could always be Monei Mayim, even if you only show up on the last day, provided that you came Mimakum Karov. So Amar Mandahu Iski Ve'esek Vagam L'Shmaitim Pumi Demara. So there was a person who said, and Rashi points out, the people who were writing the Gemara forgot who it was. But one of the Talmidim said that I wish I were able to go to Eretz Yisrael where Rabbi Abba B'Reid Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was there, and I could ask Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, what Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba's real shita was, whether he actually does paskin like Rabbi Shimon or does not paskin like Rabbi Shimon. Because we had this confused tradition of Rabbi Abba B'Reid Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon. I would like to hear it from the horse's mouth. I'd like to hear it directly, he says. So Kisalik, he actually did go, and he went to Eretz Yisrael. Ashkechel Rabbi Abba B'Reid Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, and he found Rabbi Abba B'Reid Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Amar Lei, Amar Mar Alach Rabbi Shimon Gamliel B'Treifa. So he said to him, "Nu, do you paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel B'Treifa?" Amar Lei, Ha'ein Alacha Amri. He said, it's almost exactly what I said, just I said one more word. I said, Ein Halacha, not Halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, which turns out, of course, to be the exact opposite. So, Rabbi Shimon Be'evil Mai. Yeah, what about Paschal like Rabbi Shimon in Hilchos Avelus? Do you Paschal like Rabbi Shimon? Amalei Plukten Inu. He says, I don't Paschal one way or the other. It's a machlokas. Did Rav Chista Amar Halacha, V'chin Rabbi Yochanan Halacha, Rav Nachman Amar Ein Halacha, and Rav Nachman knows that the Halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon. So that's a machlokas, what the tradition is. So there was no such statement that apparently that he had ever said that the Halacha definitively follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel by Treifas and Rabbi Shimon by Avelus. So then the Gemara now just concludes Ve'ein Halach Rabbi Shimon Gamliel B'Treifa V'Halach Rabbi Shimon Ba'Avel, that the Halach is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel B'Treifa. The Halach is like Rabbi Shimon in the Hilchos Avelus issue of coming Mimakom Karov Damar Shmuel Halach Kedivrei Mekel Ba'Avel. The reason we pass on Rabbi Shimon Ba'Avel is because Shmuel's statement that Halacha Kedivrei Mekel Ba'avel. Now that concept of halach k'divrei mekel ba'avel, Tosfos Moikot and Daf Chav Dalet says that that's only in a machlokas tana'im that we say halach k'divrei mekel ba'avel, not by any later machlokas, not by a machlokas amorayim and vaday, not by a machlokas rishonim or poskim. Tosfos writes this in several places in Shas, but primarily in Moed Katan on Daf Chav Dalet. The Mordechai in Moed Katan, Simin Tav Pei Beis, writes that no, even in a machlokas amorayim, we would say halach. In the Beis Yosef, Yerodeus Simen Shin Sadivav, he writes that even in the Machlokas HaPoskim, we say Halach HaGdivrei Mekel Ba'avel. So you have three shittos. How far does Halach HaGdivrei Mekel Ba'avel go? Is it Din Machlokas Tanayim, even in Machlokas Amarayim, or even, as Beis Yosef wants to suggest, in the Machlokas in the Machlokas HaPoskim? Now this may relate somewhat to why Halacha K'divrei Mekel Ba'avel. What's the reason for Halacha K'divrei Mekel Ba'avel? Is Halacha K'divrei Mekel Ba'avel just an outgrowth of that which we paskin that Avelus is Drabanan, and therefore it's similar to the concept of Safek Drabanan Lekula, that whenever you have a Machlokas, it has a din of a Safek, and therefore you're going to go Lekula on a din Drabanan? So it doesn't seem that way. It seems that, because A, if the Ron discusses this, that if it were true that it's just an outgrowth of Safek Drabanan Lekula, then you wouldn't need a klal of Halacha K'divrei Mekel Ba'avel. Then you would just rely on what we always say, Safek Drabanan Lekula. It must be the scope of Halacha K'divrei Mekel Ba'avel is much bigger than Safek Drabanan Lekula. And that applies in a couple of ways. First of all, when you have a machlokas in a din drabanan, we don't automatically say Safek Drabanan Lekula. First, you try to pask in the machlokas. Is there a rabbim on one side and a yachid on the other side? Is there a svara to say more like one way than the other? Not every time there's a machlokas do we immediately say, "Oh, it's a safek," and safek, you know, and therefore safek drabanan lekula. Halacha divrei mekel ba'avel seemingly applies even when there's a rabbim versus a yachid that you're going to pask in like the yachid. We always pask in like the divrei mekel, and we ignore normal protocol and how to pask in the halacha. We're going to pask in like the divrei mekel. Another nafkamina would be another ramification, rather, of the fact that Halacha Divrei Mekel Ba'avel is not necessarily related to the fact that it's a Din Rabbanan versus Din D'oraisa, is that there are many Rishonim that hold Avelus Yom Rishon is D'oraisa. So if Avelus Yom Rishon is D'oraisa, would you not say Halacha Divrei Mekel Ba'avel on Avelus Yom Rishon? So it seems that we apply Halacha Divrei Mekel Ba'avel across the board. Also, if it were related to Safek D'Rabbanan Lekula, there would be no Svara whatsoever to be Mechalik between Machlokas Tanayim versus Amorayim, or Amorayim versus Poskim, if it's purely based on Safek Drabanan Lekula. So it sounds like it's some other din of Halacha Divrei Mekel Ba'avel, which perhaps relates to the Ribbono Shel Olam's ideal of wanting to go easy on the Avel, of slanting Hilchos Avelus Lekula. There are certain areas of Halacha that we, most areas of Halacha we look at straight down the middle and just try to judge it based on its merits, but certain things the Halacha allows for slanting it in one direction or another, looking from a more Mekel perspective, and that's Halacha K'divrei Mekel Ba'avel. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rav Simi Bar Chiya, Makifim Bivnei Me'ayim. Whenever you have an issue about the intestines, a shayla and treifas about the intestines, you're allowed to compare it to other holes that you make in intestines to see when the hole came, whether it was there from before the shechit or after. Meaning, you have intestines, they have a hole in it. You're not sure if it was there from before the shechit or after the shechita. So you can make another hole in the intestines, compare the two holes, and see that the one you obviously just made is from after the shechita. See if the two holes resemble each other. If they resemble each other and the discoloration around it resembles each other, so then you could assume that the original hole in the intestines was also from after the shechita, and the animal is going to be kosher. So anu b'nei me'ayim dosel kamei d'rava. So there's a ma'isa shaya where b'nei me'ayim were brought to Rava, akfinu v'lo idmu, and Rava compared them and they didn't look at all like each other. Asar of Misharshi Berei Mimashrish Buvi Idmu. So Misharshi came and he felt the hole with his hands, he rubbed it with his hands, and all of a sudden the two holes looked very much like each other. Meaning the new hole that Rav had made to compare to the hole that was brought to him, his son of Misharshi came and just manipulated it with his hands to the point that it started to look like each other. Samarle Minalacha, Rav said, where did you learn that trick from? How did you know to do that? That it was going to look like each other if you just moved it with your your hands. So he said, I just did it logically. I said, I figured by the time the Hilchus Trefa Shaila came to Rava, probably everyone in the Beis Medrash took a look at it, and everyone, you know, they were showing it around all over the place. Everyone was touching it, and I figured that maybe people touching it and people handling it, by an esrog, it changes the color when it gets touched too much, so probably it changes the color, and it may change the appearance of the hole. So I just logically, I figured it out. So Rava was so impressed by his son, he said, my son is as smart in Hilchus Trefus as Rabbi Yochanan is. Apparently Rabbi Yochanan was a great expert in Hilchus Trefus. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar, Da'amri Tarvayu, Makif and Berea. Both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar hold that you're allowed to be makif by a lung. When you're trying to compare, when you're trying to figure out whether a hole in a lung came before the Shechita or after the Shechita, you can compare it to another hole that you make in a lung. Amar Rava lo Amran ela ba'osa aruga, but that's only in the same aruga, in the same row. Avol me aruga la aruga lo, but not from one aruga to another. You can't compare holes from one as Rashi says, dofen areya, one side of the walls of the lung to the other, from the right side to the left sides of the lungs. Vilchs afilu me aruga la aruga midaka ledaka migasa legasa. Avol lo migasa ledaka velo midaka legasa. And the halacha is even from the right to the left, you can compare as long as you're comparing the small lobes to the small lobes or the large lobes to the large lobes, but you can't compare a hole in the small lobe to a hole in the large lobe by looking at them together and seeing if they look similar or different from each other. Another halacha of comparing to try to figure out a hole. If there's a hole in the trachea, Abaye and Rava hold you're allowed to look at another hole in the trachea, make another hole in the trachea, and compare the two to figure out whether that hole was there in the trachea before the shechita or not. Amrav papalo amran ela ba'osa chulia. That's only true within the same chulia of the trachea. Remember, we discussed the chulia being the rings that are around the trachea, that a set of three rings makes a chulia, very similar to what we say in Hilchos Tzitzis, that when it comes to how many chulias you need for the tchelas, that if you say that there are seven chulias, you say that each set of three is a chulia. Avim lichulia lichulia lo, but to compare from one chulia to another chulia, that we wouldn't do. V'hilchsa afilu michulia lichulia, and the halacha is that we compare even from one chulia to another chulia, umi bar chulia lebar chulia, and also from a bar chulia to bar chulia, that it's a different side of the kana, that within each chulia, so on the top side it has a certain appearance, the rings have a certain appearance, but on the sides and the bottom it has a different appearance, that would be called the bar chulia. So if there's a hole in the bar chulia, you can compare it to another hole in the bar chulia. Avalomi chulia le bar chulia, avalomi bar chulia le chulia. You can't compare a hole in the chulia to a hole in the bar chulia, nor a hole in the bar chulia to a hole in the chulia. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says bar chulia hu klishus hakanim in atstadin umitachteh sheretzuos abasur mechaberes Rashi atabaos va'af hatnu cholich v'dak me'avio me'mtziisol atstadin lekanul kan alpnei kol hakana. Throughout the entire kana, it's thicker on the top, but on the bottom where the rings are connected, it's much thinner. It's a much weaker kind of fat or basar in that area. Fine. Amar Zi'iri, chalcholas shenikva kshera. If the rectum has a hole in it, so the animal is going to be kosher, that's not going to be a trefa. Hol v'yirei chayim amidos hasa, because the hips are considered to be holding it in place, and therefore it's not going to be a trefa problem. V'kama, how big of a hole is not a trefa problem? Ziri said that a hole is not a trefa problem, but at some point it's got to be ripped to the point where the animal is dangerously ill. So how much is not a trefa problem? Sam Rabbi Lai, Yom Rabbi Yochanan, Makom Adevek Berubo. In the place where it's connected to the hips, where the rectum is connected to the hips, then you have up until rove. If the tear is along the rove of the rectum, then we assume in the Makom Adevek, then we assume that it's going to be a trefa. But up until rove, it's still going to be considered to be kshera. Shalom b'makom adevek, not in the place where it's connected to the hips, b'mashu. Then even a small tear is going to be problematic and is going to make it a trefa. Because again, the whole svara that it's not a treif is that the hips hold it in place. So obviously that's more mistaver in the place where it's actually connected to the hips. Where it's not connected to the hips aren't going to hold it in place as much, and therefore it's going to be a treifa much more easily. Amru Rabban Kameh the Rav Mishmeh the Rav Nachman. The Rabbanan said in the name of in front of Rav in the name of Nachman, this teaching about the Makom HaDevek versus Shalab Makom HaDevek. Amar and Rav responded, Lav mi aminil chulotit lubei. Buki Sriki, didn't I already tell you, don't say silly things in the name of Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman never could have said such a thing. This is simply not true. Hachiyam Rav Nachman, I'll tell you what Rav Nachman really said, what Rav Nachman's real shita was. Makom HaDevek, in the place where it's connected, where the rectum is connected to the hips, afilu nitel kulo kasher, even if it's entirely torn, it's kasher. As long as you have enough to grab onto, that remains. Even if it's almost entirely torn. V'kama, how much is a kedei tfisa? Amar Abayi kimlo batado betura. The amount of a finger width, even on an animal the size of an ox, which is a massive animal, as long as there's a finger width of still connected tissue between the rectum and the hips, that's enough that the animal is not going to be a treifa. Rav Nachman never said this thing about rove. There's no din of rove over here. Even if it's way more than rove, in the area where it's connected, all you need it to be connected by is a finger's width. Okay, hakeres apanimi. Then we go on to the next treifa listed in the Mishnah. The Mishnah discusses the keres apanimi, the inner keres. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Hey, Nasan Barshila, Reish Tabacha de Tzipori. Nasan Barshila was the head of the butchers in Tzipori, and he was made once as follows. Lefnei Rabbi, in front of Rabbi, Mishum Rabbi Nasan, the name of Rabbi Nasan, Ezoi Keres Apanimi. What is the Keres Apanimi? The Gemara is going to have many different shitas of how to define which part of the animal exactly is the Keres Apanimi. So he said, Sagya Divi is the Keres Apanimi. What is Sagya Divi? Rashi has two pshatim, what exactly Sagya Divi is. And he says that it's a certain part of the intestinal tract that's very disgusting and very weak that even wolves won't eat it. It's so gross in that particular part. The English word C-E-C-U-M, not even trying to pronounce it, but that's the Sagya Divi. That's the part along the intestinal tract where the intestines somehow go into. That's a very disgusting area. V'chinam Reb Shua ben Karcha, Sanya Divi, also he says that it's Sanya Divi. Reb Shmuel Amar, Istumcha de Karsa, that it's the stomach of the keres. That it's as if the keres has its own stomach, so it's the istumcha de karsa. Okay, Rav Asi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Makom Sar Yesh Pekeres, that there is a narrow area in the keres itself, which is called the keres apanimi, meaning it's not something outside of the keres that we refer to as an inner keres, it's part of the keres, it's the narrow area of the keres. The only problem is, Vein Yodea Ezahu, I have no idea where the narrow part of the keres is. How do you define what's the narrow part of the keres? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Nafal Karsa Bibira. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, Shchayach, it's very nice of you to define a term that you can't define. You said it's a narrow part of the keres, but you have no idea what's called the narrow part of the keres. So the keres has fallen into the pit, meaning we have no, that didn't really help us very much at all. Amar Rav Acha Barava, Amar Rav Asi, Min HaMetzer L'mati. He says, no, what he means by that is, from where it starts to get narrower all the way down to where it connects to the esophagus. That's the keres apanimi. It's part of the keres. It's from where the keres begins to narrow all the way to the esophagus. Rabbi Yaakov bar Nachmeni Amar Shmuel, Makom She'in Bo Milas. That it's a place that of the part of the keres that's very smooth, that doesn't have a certain type of woolly kind of fat, called milas. Rashi says makom sheim milas, makom yesh bekeres chalak. It's a smooth part of the keres. She'in sham also tsemer shegorin berot chimena keres. They don't have that wool that you would be able to scrape off by boiling the keres. Whatever it's not referring to real wool, obviously. I don't think it's referring to something inside the animal, but a wool-like substance, fatty substance that you would be able to scrape off when you boil the animal. So the place that doesn't have that is called the keres apanimi. Rabbi Avina Amar Geneva Mishmei Drav Tefach beveshet samach lekeres zui keres apanimis. He says the tefach of the veshet that's closest to the keres, that's the keres apanimis. It's not a part of the keres, it's a part of the veshet that's closest to the keres. Amri b'marav mishmed Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, Kol keres kulo zui keres apnimis. He says, no, the entire keres is a keres apnimis. Vezu keres achitzon. Well, then what's the keres achitzon? If the whole keres is a keres apnimis, we thought the keres achitzon is what we call the keres. And the keres apnimis must be something else, either some tiny part of the keres, or something outside of the keres, or near the keres, or similar to the keres. And now we're saying, no, the keres apnimi is the keres. It's what we call the keres. So then what's the keres achitzon that the Mishnah refers to? Basar achofes rova keres. That's the area surrounding the keres, the basar that covers the majority of the keres. Rabba bar Rav Huna amar mafrata. Rabba bar Rav Huna says, no, the keres apanimi is the mafrata. My mafrata, what is mafrata? Amravavia hecha de pari tavchi. It's the part where the butchers cut the animal open, that becomes exposed when the butchers cut the animal open. That's the keres apanimi. Benarda avdi kerab barafuna. Narda, they passed like rab barafuna, meaning they treated that area of the animal to have the halacha of the keres apanimi that it says in the Mishnah. Amle ravashi la meimer, kolani shmai tzamai. So Vashi said to Amemar, what are we passing about all these different shitos? Meaning all these different other ideas about the keres apanimi. You say that we go like Rab Barav Huna. I'm like, kulu shaychun b'de Rab Barav Huna. Now all of these other definitions of the keres apanimi are also included in Rab Barav Huna's definition of the keres apanimi. So Rab Barav Huna is saying that the whole part that's exposed when the butchers cut the animal open is going to have a din of a keres apanimi to the point where a slice in it is going to make it a trefa. That covers many of the other definitions of keres apanimi anyway. It's all exposed when they cut the animal open. Ud Rav Asi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mai. But what about Rav Asi Amar Rabbi Yochanan's definition of the keres apanimi? That is not covered by Rab Bar Bachana, Rabbi Rav Huna's definition. So he said, Amalek Var Pirsha Rav Acha Bar Ava. Rav Acha Bar Ava already explained exactly where that is. Rav Acha Bar Ava said that was the definition of from the where it narrows out. So he explained from where it begins to narrow all the way to the esophagus. Udu Rabbi Avina Udu B'nei Mar Rav Amai. Amalek Hani Vade Pligi. He says, yeah, the definitions of Rabbi Avina and the B'nei Mar Rav is definitely against the definition that Rabbi Bar Rav Huna. That definitely disagrees. But most of the other shitos are included in Rabbi Bar Rav Huna's shita. Fine. Rabbi Domer B'gdola. So Amar Rabbi Yom Bar Yefes, Amar Rabbi Lazar. Lo gedola gedola mamish, lo katana katana mamish. When we talk about a large animal and a small animal, and differences between a cut in the keres of the large animal and that of a small animal, so we don't mean large animal and small animal mamish. El kol shenikra batefach. Whenever we say that, when the Mishnah says that in a large animal it has to be a rip the size of a tefach, it means that if you were to tear it a tefach and that would still not be the rov, that's where we say a tear the size of a tefach will make it a trefa. Ruba v'loavi tefach zui shashnina b'ketana b'ruba. And if it's a small animal, meaning that you would cut the majority and it's still not yet a tefach, that's where we say a majority would make it a trefa. Ruba v'loavi tefach pshita. So says, well, obviously, if you cut the majority and it's not a tefach, that's obviously going to be a trefa, because as Rashi says, Rubo kikulo. In general, we always say rov is like kol, so it's as if the whole thing is ripped open. So it says, well, l'tzricha dav yetefach b'mashuhu. Now the situation is that if it would be a mashuhu more than rov, it would be the size of a tefach. The tear would be the size of a tefach. Meaning the majority point is at just under a tefach. I might have thought that until you rip it a tefach, it's not a trefa. So kamash milan, therefore comes to tell me that it is. Amar Gneva Amar Biasi, Niktura Kasela Trefa. If there's a round hole the size of a sella, the coin that's a sella, that's a trefa. Shim Timtach Tamudala Tefach. Because if you were to take that round hole and stretch it out, it would be the size of a tefach. Amar Bichir Barabala Didim Farshimine de Gneva, Amavra de Narda. Gneva once explained to me on the bridge over Narda, or on the boat that goes to Narda, Kasela Kashera, Yeser mi Kasela Trefa. If it's the size of a sella, then it's kosher. If the hole is more than the size of a sella, then it's a trefa. Vekami Yeser mi Kasela, how big is larger than the size of a sella? Amar Yosef Gon da Island Tlas Kashyasa Betsifa Beduchka. If you take three date pits that have a little bit of date still stuck to them and push them through bedochak, that's a little bigger than a sella. Below tzipa baravcha, if it doesn't have any bit of the date still stuck to it, it's totally clean, it should be able to fit through the hole very easily. That's considered a hole that's bigger than a sella. Okay, we'll stop there again. I'm not going to be here for a week. I'm going to be in Montreal. We'll pick up again next Tuesday. from 7 o'clock from now.
Oh, yeah. You're not doing